Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Atlanta, Georgia, it's time for Atlanta Business Radio, spotlighting the city's best businesses and the people who lead them.
Lee Cantor here with Stone Payton, another episode of Office Evolution Radio, and we're in the swing of things now, aren't we?
Yes, we are. That was a fantastic first episode. I love doing Radio Day with Office Evolution. You know, last time we did it at their Avalon location.
That's right.
Now we're in Dunwoody, just down the street from our Business Radio X Network headquarters and the Sandy Springs studio. But we've already made some fabulous new friends. It was a tremendous segment, and I have every reason to believe this is going to be no exception. We are going to have some fun. First up in this episode of Office Evolution Radio, please join me in welcoming to the broadcast Managing Director with iTrust Home Services, Mr. Jim Knoll. How are you, sir?
Very good. Thank you, Stone. Appreciate it.
Well, before we get too far into things, Jim, do you mind sharing a little bit about iTrust Home Services? How are you serving folks?
Sure. So let me talk about how I actually started it. So not only am I the Managing Director, but I'm also the owner. Spent 30 years in technology, sales, operations, financial services, worked for HP, IBM, had a lot of work.
This guy can't hold a job.
Exactly. Can you tell?
And now no wonder he started a business.
And now that I'm over 50, they make it really tough.
You're
to
unhireable.
Hold a job.
Unhireable.
Exactly. So I decided after all the reflecting on all the contractor work I've had done, what would I prefer to do instead of complaining about it? How would I fix it and how would I do it? So I decided to build a company based on superior quality, reliable service, and guaranteed satisfaction. And I figured if I could do that in my neighborhood, I could generate a lot of business just on those three principles alone. So I took all the experience that I had and I started a company. And the company is mainly an electrical contractor as well as a painting contractor. And one of the other things that we specialize in is home automation. So you may say, what do you mean painting and then also electrical contractor? That's electricians and painters usually don't mix, right? You might see that. More importantly, with the Internet of Things and the way the pace of technology is going, that there's this explosion of the Nest, the Rings, all Arlo's, NetIQ, you name the technology, whether it's garage doors, door locks, cameras, thermostats, it's out there and it's happening. And traditionally, homeowners like ourselves would have to rely on proprietary closed systems that allowed only one particular person to come in and they'd have to code certain things. Well, you've had this investment from Google, you've had this investment from Microsoft, you've had investment from Amazon, all in this smart home to try and consolidate these devices that are out there on your phone. So I thought, what better way to take my electrical contracting company and my painting company, put those two things together to address home services in general. And when you really think about painting, that's about home aesthetics for the most part, especially interior painting. When you think about residential electrical, a lot of what we do is around lighting, also about home aesthetics when you get down to lighting. And when you put the two together and you start talking about how does automation impact those business lines, it grows across because, again, it's all about home aesthetics. So when you look at home automation, we look at kind of three general areas of how it impacts a particular homeowner or consumer. It allows you to protect your property or even the family. It allows you to conserve your resources, whether it's LED light bulbs or automatic timing or the automation of thermostats. And then also allows you to enjoy your life by providing more convenience and more flexibility when you're at your home as well as away when you're away from your home.
Now, I understand you're going to plug everything in and make sure everything works right.
You got it.
The thing that I need, this is about me now.
Sure.
Can you make my TV work better so that it all works off one remote and make my stereo and
do that too? We can.
Or is that a different service?
So we can do that as well. One of the things that the reason I kind of got in the electrical contracting business is to take dumb switches and make them smart switches.
Right.
You have to have a licensed electrician to do that. And I don't know how many licensed electricians you know, but they're usually not 21. And they're usually not very computer savvy.
Right. I mean, right now, I just don't most people use their nephew that
kind of
goes on YouTube and figures it out?
So what I did is, and I'm going to come back to answer your question in 1 second, is I took these class two master electricians, non-restricted electricians, and I put them with a 21-year-old, very internet savvy engineering type of candidate. And I always say it's the Reese's peanut butter cup thing. A little bit of chocolate, a little bit of peanut butter makes two things better. So when we come in and do an analysis of your AV solution or your particular remote control, or you just want to use voice commands, we have the ability to do that across the board. I have a ton of folks that not only do you want your TV to work easy, but you want to move it. Now you want to put it over your fireplace. There's no power there. Do that all day long where we're running power in to move the TVs and then also employing some automation technologies to make it much more easy to actually use the TV and get your programming done.
So now is the television kind of the center of the universe for a lot of the homes?
No. So I see the center of the universe is the same way a lot of the smartphone device manufacturers. The center of the universe is the thing that's in your hand or on your wrist. So 98% of our client base predominantly is iPhone users. So the majority of what we do is take all these kind of new industry entrants out there, and we select best of breed. And how we figure that out is doing in-house testing in our labs. And then we integrate those all up through your iPhone. So at the end of the day, they're all consolidated, and they all work with that device in your hand. And if any of you are married, I think you'll find that the women have a tough time telling you what they like, but they know it as soon as they see it. Mm-hmm. And with the iPhone, it's really difficult to get it out of their hands. So the good news is all this automation is now controlled via your iPhone, and in particular Siri. So my wife, she doesn't actually use switches in the kitchen anymore. She just asks Siri to turn the lights over the kitchen sink to 50%. And that's exactly what happens immediately.
So you transfer all the intelligence to each person who lives in the home's phone?
Yeah, and so Apple and the Apple ecosystem allows that to happen readily. Mm-hmm. And so it's really cool. So everybody can have their particular permissions just as you have it set up. And you also have an audit trail. So I mentioned, you know, you can enjoy your house, you can conserve resources, but you can also protect yourself. It allows you to see who's coming in and who's going out when you have certain garage doors or certain locks that are all HomeKit compatible.
Now, what about when my mother-in-law visits? Do you have something that's a solution to help manage? Because she's not the super tech savvy, but you know she comes and we might be gone and she's at the house and wants to watch TV.
So
and then, you know, she can't, there's five remotes. And
in particular, even, for example, the lights, if she just says, ask Siri, and I don't want to do, if I say the hey word and Siri behind it, my phone's going to start doing something. But she can ask just as anybody else can in the family to turn something on or turn something off. And a lot of the phone, a lot of the TV is Google, and the Google Assistant has done a lot around that as well as Alexa.
Okay, so you can
work in all those environments.
So now when I'm contracting with you guys, iTrust Home Services, are you going to give me kind of a cheat sheet or do you leave and just tell me all this stuff or you know?
Yeah, so depending what we do in your house, we even go to our little training aids where we'll put some things so you know what to say and when to say it so you can get used to it. But what's really interesting about Siri in particular is because artificial intelligence, she can figure it out. She'll start to group things in a kitchen. And if I say, Siri, turn on the kitchen lights, all the kitchen lights, and I have three different groupings. So one over the sink, two over the island, and some main lights or pendants. She'll figure out the difference between those. And even if I say them in the wrong order, she'll still do it.
Wow.
So the adaptability is that she figures out kind of what you're trying to do. So when I pull up to my office in the morning, I don't have to use a key to unlock the door. I ask her to unlock the door and turn on all the lights.
So your firm will put in the new locks for me? Because I don't have a smart lock right now.
Smart locks.
So that's part of your service.
Yeah, and the interesting thing about that is you can never get away from the guys that can use their hands and skills. And what I mean by that is installing new smart locks is relatively easy. Getting to work in a door jam that's where the lock has a really easy slide and glide, that's the difficult part. So I actually have a carpenter as well. to come up and work on those jams.
Because I have an old house. My house wasn't meant to have electricity by the door, you know?
Yeah, well, and most houses aren't, and that's why it's battery-operated on most of these smart locks. But the interesting thing, the challenge to get them to work really well is the ability to actually have a door that smoothly operates in a jam that's square.
So you might have to replace the door?
No, we just make adjustments.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So that's where the construction person comes in?
That's where my woodworker comes in, because when you get a door that's not square, when most houses aren't,
right,
they need to make some adjustments and shim and use the little chisel to move some wood and that type of thing. But we can get it there, and then that can change a little bit with weather. And you know, the biggest hurdle that a lot of folks have to adopting this technology is that wireless connectivity. So everybody has a great internet signal probably somewhere in their house,
right,
but not necessarily
not everywhere.
Everywhere. So we have a solution, a Wi-Fi mesh solution. We come in, one of my engineers comes in and measures the signal strength throughout the entire property as well as outside of the property if you're using outdoor cameras. Because a lot of times the camera is the furthest away from the cable modem in the house, and that presents a problem for a lot of folks. So before we even install anything, we address that by looking at that signal strength and how you get there and taking care of that. We actually redid over a 16,000 square foot home that was using three different internet providers. To try and get signal throughout the property.
Oh, they needed all of that in order
you
to
got
cover.
It. And an outbuilding, and we put in a solution that was one Wi-Fi intelligent mesh that works throughout their entire property. So we've scaled it all the way out to 16,000 plus feet and take it all the way down to kind of like tiny homes that have tough connectivity outside.
So now walk me through what it looks like when I first have you guys come to the house. Like, is the first conversation on the phone?
Some
point you got to come to the house, get the lay of the land, right?
Almost all the times we're doing the come to the house and we're brought in for a particular problem. Mm-hmm. Our electricians get called all the time, painting. So one of us come out and we understand what the homeowner's trying to do. And then we give an estimate or a bid. Usually it's a free quote for that.
So there's no fee for you to come out to the house to get the lay of the land and to see what the possibility is?
Especially for automation. Now, I will tell you this. For when somebody wants a light fixture fixed and I'm rolling an electrician, a licensed electrician, there is a minimum charge, but I've got to cover the electrician.
I mean,
as you know, they're few and far between today, and we just have to make the best use of their time. But especially to have me come out, I'm the owner, so there's never a charge for me.
So you come out, and I say, okay, I want a smart lock. I want my TV and the stereo to work together. I want to do some automation around the lighting.
Yes.
I want some outdoor cameras. You just walk the house and kind of get the feel of what you got, what you don't have.
So we could do everything from a full assessment, or if somebody just says, hey, I got this ring thing for Christmas or this Nest thing. I want to put in. And then based on that, we could take it and say, well, what would you like to do? What is the next thing you'd like to do? We see this as a phased in approach. We don't think folks, and I don't think it's prudent necessarily, wise investment, just throw all your money in, hey, automate the whole house. Right. What's that mean? Let's look at your goals and objectives from a safety perspective, a conservation perspective, an enjoyment perspective. Figure out what those things are and what provides the biggest bang for the buck and see how you like it.
Mm-hmm.
And I think you'll see that this is a an entire type of phased in approach or purchase. This is going to change people's lives dramatically.
You got to ease into it.
Totally, totally, totally.
Because if it's too dramatic, and they're overwhelmed, and they probably do less than.
And so a lot of people have been turned off by technology because of this over the course of history. And eventually they come onto it. I think you're at this breaking point or turning point or tipping point within technology and home automation where it's starting to become table stakes. And if you don't have certain things in your house, it's like not having, I mean, you look goes to in-laws that don't have wireless or Wi-Fi, internet connectivity.
Right. You're like, you all of a sudden you feel like helpless.
Yeah.
Like
unless they're in the Dakotas and they don't have it, you're, you know.
Right.
you'd be like, "What? What do you mean they don't have?" And we have to stay there,
right?
So I think what you'll find is with home automation and certain controls, it's becoming table stakes, and everybody's expecting it.
So now, but you're finding the adoption though is that high? Like now, everybody's got like an Echo or something like that now.
Yes,
right?
And what I find is almost everybody has a digital assistant. Are one of the,
but they're just not using it to the fullest.
Definitely not that. You know, they're not using it to the fullest extent in terms of automating their house, but that's okay. They're getting closer and warming up to the technology. Mm-hmm. They're getting used to talking to an artificial intelligent assistant, right? And getting feedback and direction and working that into the whole thing. We still have some folks from a security perspective that don't want to do that. And that's okay as well. I mean, I think everybody, this is kind of a learning curve and also a comfort
curve.
Right,
it's what comfort you have with exactly. Privacy. And
so that adoption's pretty prevalent and you see it growing. I don't have the actual percents, but as then you step into the video doorbells, everybody likes those.
Video cameras,
everybody's liking those. But then they're like, well, now what do I do? And what works with my Ring or my Echo Bee or my Nest? Mm-hmm. And what Ring, you know, how does this work with my phone? What do I do here? So that's where we come in from domain expertise perspective.
So now tell me a little bit about that transition from corporate person to entrepreneur. How did that go?
Yeah, so I've always
had... Is there an app for that?
there is. I haven't found it. I have not found it. I think I'm at the wrong app store. But I always wanted to do my own thing. I did start a business with my wife called AlpharettaMoms.org about 8 or 9 years ago. It was an online community. I learned a lot about starting a business. We also had a full-time job. And at the age of 50-something, it's tough in a big corporate environment.
Right.
And
so you were planning an exit, like, or you saw, like, well, you go, hey, there's not a lot of six-year-olds in my company or in this industry. I should have a plan B here.
So for those of you that work in large corporate, when you get to be my age, you're like a deer with a really big rack on your head, and there starts to be a target. And you can allow that to define your sense of value and worth in a market, or you can deny that and go and figure it out for your own. And I decided I always wanted to prove a couple things to myself on a business perspective. I happen to be dyslexic. I didn't know until I was 49. My thought process
is that what they told you when they told you to leave?
No. So that's what I found out when my kids were diagnosed.
Right.
And then I was like, oh, this is why I can't spell. And I have a tough time with words I've never seen or heard before. But I have a different thought process than most. And it's somewhat, if you don't apply it properly, especially in a corporate environment, it can work against you. So I have a very visual, creative, problem-solving type of mindset. And in certain jobs in corporate world, that's not a good thing. So I decided to redeploy, go where my strengths were, take my wife and I's retirement, leverage some of that, and invest in my future. And my kids' future and my wife's future, and now it's a family business. And although we're fledgling and we've only been in business since, you know, January of last year, everything and all indications are that the business model holds a lot of water. The product set holds a lot of value to a client. I find more and more folks want one person they trust to do more and more stuff for them.
And then so it's evolving based on what the market's telling you.
Yes.
And that and that's one of the good lessons of being an entrepreneur, right, is listen to your clients. They're smarter than you.
110%. As a matter of fact, our business is oriented towards women. I believe a large portion of disposable income out there is controlled by women. And I think that technology's done a disservice. That's why I went on Alpharetta Moms to get technology to start working in favor of women. So the whole I Trust name and I Trust Home Services and the teal color, it was all selected for women, so much of it created by women. And I said, my opinion doesn't matter.
Right. So now what do you need more of right now?
I need more time on this earth, more time with my family. No, because I am in startup mode, so I don't have a lot of time for my family. But we could use more business, more clients, getting our name out there And if you look online, one thing we've done is we really like to move to a referral type of business model. Mm-hmm. And you look at our reviews, you'll see we score 4.9. We got 55 reviews out there, Google, Yelp, Home Advisor. And we spend a lot of time making sure we provide that superior quality, reliable service, and guaranteed satisfaction.
And the pain that a potential client's having right now is what? Where they're like, I got to call the iTrust folks.
So we see some folks that try to put in their own doorbell and actually literally melted the Chime transformer.
Wow.
And it says, Ness says, hey, get a professional. And I can only tell you, you need to get a professional. So we see a lot of that. We see a lot of do-it-yourselfers on the electric side. The other thing is on the painting side, we specialize in cabinet refinishing. And what's really funny, and we don't have enough time for this today, but the cabinet refinishing and the paint technology today is as sophisticated as the home automation technology.
What about hardwood floor refinishing?
Haven't got there yet, but the same type of thing, because we've moved from the high volatile organic compounds and oil and petroleum-based stuff
right.
to water-based stuff. That poison stuff, although it kills everybody, worked really good on your floors and your kitchen cabinets.
Right.
And so as they start to make this transition, and we make this transition, this whole thing's about chemistry. And that's why paint is so complex right now. And when you go and, or, you know, anybody that's over put latex over oil can attest to, that's a problem. It comes off in sheets over a period of time. Yeah. So you get in all these kind of nuances. So we spend a lot of time, and I address it just like I do it on home automation. We do a lot of testing in the lab and a lot of investment before we even hit a client site.
Well, if somebody wanted to learn more, have more substantive conversation, what's the best way to get a hold of you?
iTrustHomeServices.com is a great place. We just set up a new website yesterday, so we're on our second version of our website. And also, you can always reach us on our number at 470-369-1000. So four zeros.
Well, congratulations on the momentum. Keep up the good work. Lee, this right up your alley. I know if Abby hears this segment.
I got a lot of needs.
Yeah.
I have a 60-year-old house.
And
oh, yeah.
Was it last year that you sent me the sous vide?
Yeah, you're going to fix that?
That's marvelous, and it's really has enhanced my life. The next time you get an itch to provide a gift to me, I want you to send me him with that video doorbell thing in his hand.
All right.
Because I think Holly wants one of those. But yeah, keep up the good work, and this is marvelous. We want to continue to follow your story as you build
terrific.
This thing.
Terrific. I'd be happy to share it.
All
Thank
right.
you very much.
Hey, stay with us a little bit. We're going to visit with one more guest.
That'd be terrific.
All right. You ready for the headliner?
I am. He's waited very patiently.
He's been very patient. I thought I saw him take a couple of notes there. We have with us licensed agent with U.S. Health Advisors. Please join me in welcoming to the show Mr. Frank Stinger. How are you, man?
I'm doing great, and I'm hoping that my wife was not listening to Jim.
I get that a lot.
Yeah, yeah,
I get that a lot.
Now she has your phone number, which is even worse.
No, he's compelling, and the work he's doing, I mean, it really does enhance yeah. your life, doesn't right. it?
Yeah, we've taken a very unique business model.
I'm not so sure my topic of health insurance is going to be that as exciting.
Yeah, I apologize for having to follow that act. I'm sorry about that, Frank.
I should have gone first.
Yeah. Right?
Well, tell us about U.S. Health Advisors, Frank. How are you serving folks?
Basically, we are trying to provide individuals and families and small businesses creative, cost-effective, innovative health insurance. Right now, that's a primary concern amongst many individuals and families. Right now, basically, you look at the insurance world, and there's like three ways to get insurance, typically. One is group insurance. That's what you get from your employer.
Right.
Secondly is what they call Marketplace or Obamacare. Okay. And third is private insurance, and that's what I represent, private insurance.
And then who is the person who uses private insurance typically? What's the profile of that person?
Well, typically it's a relatively healthy person. And let me go into a little bit about what that's happened there, is that the advent of Obamacare, basically we have found that the premiums and the deductibles have consistently gone up year after year. We're finding some of our clients, when we talk to them, can't make a differentiation between their mortgage payment and their premium for their health care.
I can attest to that fact, as a matter of fact.
Got it. All right. So we have been able to be successful in getting a large pool, 15 million of that pool clients that are relatively healthy, and therefore we're able to provide very competitive rates with regard to healthcare coverage.
So when you say pool, what does that mean?
Well, a pool is that it's our base of clients, our customers right now. They are relatively healthy people.
So U.S. Health Advisor clients?
No, they are customers.
Customers.
Right. Okay. We refer to them as clients because we work with them in that fashion. Mm-hmm. No, we just don't do the deal and walk away. A client is forever. But basically what you find is that individuals that were getting these increased premiums and deductibles were relatively healthy people. So they're paying a lot of money and not using it. So between you do the math and say, what are you paying for your premium? Multiply that by 12. What's the deductible? Okay, add that in. So those are all the dollars you pay before you get $1 of coverage.
Right.
So we find people that we can provide coverage more quickly, and we have some programs that have no deductible, no coinsurance. And we're able to use the other advantage, too, is basically a lot of the marketplace plans are HMOs. Yeah, it's a health maintenance organization. And what they do, and it's not that they're a bad thing, but they're relatively restrictive in geographically as to where you can be and also the provider that you use. And secondly, they have what they call a primary care physician who's your gatekeeper. So if you want to go see a cardiologist and you're a member of HMO, you have to get the primary care physician to agree to that. We've been very fortunate to be able to network with Cigna, and we're able to utilize their PPO open access network.
And so what does PPO stand for?
That's a preferred provider organization.
And that's different than competition or are they? Well,
yeah, they're
different.
They are in competition, but it's two different types of insurance. The HMO, let me give you an example, is that I just had a client come over to us. They were on Blue Cross Blue Shield. HMO. They had a daughter going to college in Florida. So not only were they paying for their HMO here in Georgia, but they were paying for a separate policy for their daughter in Florida. So we got them onto our program, which was a PPO with Cigna. And with the PPO, the coverage travels with you. You could be in Georgia. You could be in Maryland. It's going to go with you. Cigna has one of the largest networks of doctors and hospitals in the U.S. So no matter where you go, you're going to be okay. And there's no penalty. You're staying in the network. And the other aspect of the network is that there are discounted rates. So Cigna has been able to negotiate with physicians and hospitals with regard to reduce their normal rate for their clients. And it's a basic business principle in the sense of physicians or doctors are willing to do a discount based on volume. The more you get in the door,
sure,
the more money you're going to have going through. And you're willing to do that at a reduced cost. So the PPO program allows portability, and it also allows choice of hospital and doctor. If you are here in Georgia and the best hospital for a certain heart condition is in Texas, if you're in an HMO, you're not going to be able to do that. You could, but you'll be out of pocket. With the PPO, you can go ahead and take care of that.
So you can go anywhere.
Anywhere. You choose it. And you would be really pressed to find a physician not into the Cigna PPO network. That's how many they have.
So now, who typically is the PPO prospect? Are they self-employed? Are they kind of retired?
Right. Basically, they are self-employed individuals. They could be professionals. They could be craftsmen. Typically, there are individuals that do not have access to group insurance through mm-hmm. a large employer. So they're out on their own. And basically what we try to do is meet with them, take a look at what their needs are, what their budget is. And we do have the ability to craft a plan. Now, it's not just one size fits all. It's the size that fits you,
right?
Both for your needs as well as your budget.
Right. Like, so I'm self-employed. Say my wife doesn't work or she's also self-employed. I have a kid. I would meet with you and you would kind of create a plan that makes sense for our family.
Yes, and you do that basically trying to understand what the customer or client's needs are. What's important to you, okay? And based on what's important to you, we can design a plan that meets those needs and also is sensitive to the budget.
Mm-hmm. Now, what about a young person? What if they're like a 30-year-old that has, you know, the 50 side hustles, is, you know, the Uber driver, and the, you know, they're just trying to make it, and they're not working for a big company, right. And they're just kind of, is a PPO the appropriate? Because yeah. You don't want them to have no coverage, right?
That's absolutely like, yeah, and that's the sometimes I get on the phone with people that are saying, well, I'm thinking that I might need some coverage and been not covered for the last 5 years. And say, well, I'll just pay it out of pocket. Well, that's okay if all you have is out-of-pocket expenses. But what happens when the big one hits? What are you going to do? Because I'll talk to people, say, well, you know, I got about $10,000, $15,000 in the bank, and I kind of, you know, pull on that. And so let me tell you, one hospital stay would wipe that out. You know, and it seems to me for those individuals like that is that part of the thinking that we try to work with them on is protect your assets through good health insurance, mm-hmm. because, you know, it can eat into you largely. I think other than actually losing a job, the second biggest cause of bankruptcy is healthcare bills that remain
unpaid. It's because they didn't have coverage.
Right. Yeah.
And then they get hit. Cause like, what are some of the horror stories you've heard? Like one day could be tens of thousands of dollars, right?
It could be hundreds of thousands of dollars.
In a day.
Wow.
Well, not in a day, but over the course
over
of a
the
claim.
Over the course of a treatment.
Somebody winds up getting a stroke. They're in intensive care for a while. Those bills rack up really, really quick. And what's the sort of the yeah, that's the dark side, the event. The other side of the moon is that when they get their bill and they see how much is covered and how much is discounted, it's kind of like their out-of-pocket is really minimized.
Mm-hmm. So now, so walk me through what that onboarding looks like. I'm a self-employed person. I call you up. I'm like, this is, tell me, like, what is that conversation? What are you trying to, do I have to take a blood test? Do I have to get a physical? Like, what happens?
Now, there are questions that we do ask with regard to, you know, individuals, their height, their weight, their date of birth. Are there any pre-existing conditions or any medications that they're taking? Okay. So we want to make sure that they are insurable for us. Mm-hmm. Then once we get that information, okay, we begin to say, all right, it looks like you would be able to qualify for these plans because they need to be medically qualified. Once that is established, you say, okay, but what is important to you? What are you looking for? What's keeping you up at night relative to health insurance now that you're thinking about it? What's important to be covered? So we just walk through those aspects as to what is important to them. You know, the kind of coverage, the type of deductible. Do they want dental? Do they want vision? You know,
dental and vision as well. You got this catastrophic health thing. You want to get that covered, but you also can help us get dental and vision.
Right, yes.
Because that's going to be important. Yeah. Really, it ought to be important for you and your spouse, but certainly if you have kids.
Orthodontics.
Yeah. And just
tell me about it.
And you're more inclined to do the ongoing maintenance.
Preventative.
Preventative health care. Yeah.
And that's also, too, the things that we do offer, too, is we have some riders that go along with the policy that do health and wellness with regard to colonoscopies, physical exams, you know, immunization shots for children. So when we look at that, we say, okay, it's a mom and dad and kids, okay, what's really important for them to have coverage for? What are the kind of things they could anticipate as expenses that they would have?
And you can adjust that based on the needs. Like, it's not a set it and forget it, right? I get this one coverage and then I'm stuck with that forever. I can change it every year?
Yes, you can change it. You can change it.
As my needs change.
Basically, once you are underwritten and into the plan, you've got a lot of flexibility on that. And the other thing, too, that we do is we do offer either a 12-month or a 15-month rate guarantee. Now, when we say that, some customers say, well, I don't want to sign a contract. Well, it's not a contract. It's a guarantee of the rate staying the same for that period of time. The minute you stop paying your premium, you don't have coverage. I mean, it's the same thing with your car insurance.
It's an on and off switch.
So it's very much in your control.
Right.
But what we try to say, what is also in your control, is that rate that we have quoted you will stay in place for that period of time. And our history as a company is that when we have increased it, they have been low single-digit numbers, not like the 20 and 30% that you see here.
Now, what about what are some kind of levers I can pull to get a lower rate? Is it like have a higher deductible? What are some of the things I can be doing?
Yeah, the more that you're willing to self-insure, it's going to be reflected in
your
rate.
But it could be pretty dramatic, right?
Well, again, we take it up to like either 2,500, 5,000, 10,000. Mm-hmm. Basically, it's what you feel you can handle. Some people are in a situation that they say, I'll take the lower premium. I don't think all these things are going to happen, but if they do, I can handle it.
Right.
So it's basically similar to like, car insurance. You know what I mean? You know, if you have a $100 deductible, you're going to pay for that. If you have a $1,000 deductible, you'll be happy.
Right. And then so once I'm talking to you, you can help give me the options so that you find the right policy that works for me and my family.
Yeah. What we not only just talk on that once we reach an idea of what we're working on, and we give them a quote, and we will do, if not face-to-face, we'll do it on a computer, a screen sharing, and walk them through the plan. Say, here's how. You know, the idea is that I get a lot of people call and say, well, give me a quote. That's meaningless.
Right.
You know, what are you buying is what you really want to understand. So if we give a quote, we say you need to be able to speak to us about what you've got. Let me walk you through the plan and how it works. Because the worst day to find out about what kind of coverage you have is the day that you need it.
Absolutely. Now, are there any services where you offer some sort of like a hotline where I can call a nurse or somebody that's an expert that I can...
Glad you brought that up. We have a medical doctor that's available. It's not just one. It's a network, you know. It's called Live Meds 24/7. And moms love this because...
Right, because they
don't want to go to the doctor's office.
And they don't want to drive and spend the day there. And when they can, it could be something simple.
Right. And the part is that is at no cost. That's one of
that's just included.
That's just included. So you can use that
just for that.
Often as you want. And typically what happens when those calls are made, you know, the customer will say, here's... you know, what's going on. And the doctor will basically, it's one of three things. It's like, okay, no big deal. I'm going to call on the prescription to your pharmacy.
Could even call in prescriptions?
Yeah.
Wow.
Or they can say, you know what, based on what you told me, it's probably good to make an appointment with your primary care physician.
And just get it checked out.
Now, the third thing is you never want to hear. You need to get to the emergency room now.
Yeah. But that way you have somebody that's knowledgeable that can give you real advice, not me going on the internet and Googling.
I've got where I've had customers call up and say, you know, we were in Disney World here in Florida. Okay. And they were at a hotel and this is going on. They said, you know, I got amoxicillin prescribed and it was, you know.
Wow.
So it's kind of a neat feature.
That's almost concierge service.
Well, it is. And those are the things that we try to solve with regard to, you know, look at the quote, but look at the value that you're getting. You have to understand how the plan works. So when you look at it, say, okay, that's something that I think I want to pay for.
So if you're an entrepreneur or even if you're somebody who doesn't have insurance, it's worth calling you guys just to have a conversation to see what the possibilities are. And it may not be as expensive as you fear.
Yep. Getting information is never a lose-lose proposition.
Right.
Basically, you want to get the idea is that we're trying to meet customers' needs. And we feel that the more informed they are, the more informed the decision that they will make. It is sometimes a little, bothersome to me when I talk to some people on the phone that have been without insurance for a long time.
Right.
It's kind of like, you know, you've been lucky so far.
Right.
Okay. And so, you know, thank the gods that you've had that. But there's no, you know, I don't want to sound like the doomsday, you know, tomorrow is promised to no one. So, you need to make sure that you've got those tomorrows covered.
Right. So if somebody wanted to learn more and have more substantive conversation, is there a website for you guys?
There is, and it's on my business card right here.
Which you have with you.
Are you ready for this website?
Yeah. What is it?
All right. So www.ushagent.com. And if you want to go specifically to where we got Frank's profile there, it's www.ushagent.com/Francis Stinger.
Yeah.
All together. Good stuff. Well, Frank, thank you so much for sharing your story. It's important. And like you said, you shouldn't go without insurance if you can help it, right?
Yeah. And again, there's just an awful lot of confusions right now in the marketplace, especially with the Obamacare, because now you've got this district court in Texas that has decided that they're going to unravel the whole act. And basically the premise of that is that years ago when the Obamacare or the Affordable Care Act was challenged and went to the Supreme Court. The Supreme Court upheld it based on the premise that Congress has the right to tax. And the tax was the shared responsibility. It says if you don't have insurance, you're going to get taxed. Okay. Well, the Tax Reform Act that was passed last year took away that mandate requirement.
Right.
So the court and people who are following it are saying, without that leverage, what good is the rest of that program? So we'll see where that goes, but it's an interesting set of circumstances.
Well, thank you again for sharing your story.
Well, thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
All right. This is Lee Cantor for Stone Payton. We will see you all next time on Office Evolution Radio.